We are back and the recording has started again. It is still 9:31. Dr. Bustillo, meeting's yours.
Okay, so we'll go back to A, which I skipped over because my papers were not in order. The case is 2383 Matthew Nyberg, PT.
And I believe that Ms. Bivens is representing Mr. Nyberg, and both were earlier present. I'll just double check, make sure they're still in the meeting.
Yes, hi, this is Lisa Bivens, and Matt is here, I believe.
We could just hear from him.
Good morning. This complaint alleges that Mr. Nyberg engaged in sexual relationships with multiple female patients over a 12-year period of time, as well as a sexual relationship with a student physical therapist that was under his supervision. Mr. Nyberg has confirmed that he engaged in sexual misconduct with at least four patients over a 12-year period of time, beginning in 2004, lasting over a period of 12 years, with the last reported relationship starting in 2016 and ending in July 2023. The statements and interviews of at least three of the four patients referenced in the report support the allegations of sexual misconduct. In addition, three patients describe the emotional harm they have experienced as a result of his sexual misconduct. Mr. Nyberg denied engaging in sexual misconduct with a student physical therapist. He states he is presently working in a home health setting with many of his patients living in an assisted living environment. He and his attorney and Ms. Bivens were provided a copy of the investigative report. They have submitted supplemental written responses, which included a psychosexual evaluation. Those were included in your review materials as Exhibits 7 and 8. A second supplemental response was received on March 20th and was included separately in your review materials as a late submission. Given the nature of the allegations, the identity of the witnesses in the report have been masked and are referenced to as P as in Paul 1 through P5. The following possible statute violations have been identified for your consideration. ARS 32-2044-10, engaging in sexual misconduct. Sexual misconduct includes engaging in or soliciting sexual relationships, whether consensual or non-consensual, while a provider-patient relationship exists, and B, making sexual advances, requesting sexual favors, or engaging in other verbal conduct or physical conduct of a sexual nature with patient. ARS 32-2044-12, failing to adhere to the recognized standards of ethics of the physical therapy profession as it relates to Principle 2, physical therapists shall act in a trustworthy manner toward patients and clients and in all other aspects of physical therapy practice. And Principle 4, a physical therapist shall exercise non-professional judgment. This case is for your review.
Are any of the patients on the call?
I believe they are, but I don't believe they would be willing to participate at this point.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but.
Have any of the patients that are on the call wish to make any statements or comments, please let me know. Okay. So, Ms. Bivens or Mr. Nyberg, would you like to make an opening statement, please?
Yes, please. Good morning, Dr. Bustillo and members of the board. As mentioned, my name is Lisa Bivens, and I'm representing Mr. Nyberg today, who is also present. Mr. Nyberg has also prepared some remarks, but first I would like to give a high-level overview of our position and focus in on those facts that we believe deserve the board's consideration in this matter. Our position is that this is a consent agreement case. There is historical conduct here that will concern the board, but you won't hear any excuses for that conduct today. But objectively, there is also a decade between the last instance of conduct that would amount to a violation. And there's also an expert who has opined that my client is safe to practice and the risk is manageable. If board members have not had an opportunity to review that 15-page comprehensive psychological evaluation, I would encourage board members to read that if they have concerns about this being a consent agreement case. In addition to submitting to that psychological evaluation in good faith and voluntarily to support this investigation, my client has taken proactive steps to educate himself about the issues Dr. Perkins Americans identified in his report. He has completed extensive gold standard CE through PBI, the 24-hour one, and he remains in the follow-up extended program and had a group meeting as recently as yesterday. So he remains proactively seeking out education on these issues. This case is unique in that my client did actually attempt to self-report to the board's previous ED, Karen Donahue. He was told by Ms. Donahue that the statute of limitations had passed, and I am not sure why that was the response. But this should tell the board that this licensee does hold himself accountable for his actions, and he is not trying to shy away from responsibility today. In summary, you have a licensee with 27 years of practice, and there is a consensus by everybody who was investigated or interviewed in the investigation that my client is an outstanding physical therapist with a wealth of knowledge and experience, and he is currently providing patient services mostly to elderly patients in assisted living facilities. Today, we are asking for a resolution that allows Mr. Nyberg to continue to serve the community in a manner that provides the board confidence that these are historical issues that can be addressed and monitored through a consent agreement. And now, if I may, I'd like to give my client an opportunity to read the remarks he's prepared.
Okay, thank you, Lisa. Good morning, members of the board. I am here because I care about my work and this profession. I understand the importance of this investigation and the board's responsibilities to protect the integrity of this profession that I love. I intend to cooperate with the board and to be completely transparent during this process. I love my job. For 27 years, I've been helping people through physical therapy, and I love it. I also exercise poor judgment in my past with my romantic pursuits, and I compromise my integrity and my boundaries in ways that I'm not proud of. I'm not going to try to justify my behavior on this issue, but I will say that for the past 13 years, I've been a better version of myself. I've sought counseling, and I've made meaningful changes in my behavior. As Dr. Perkins noted, this is a historical issue, and I've put a lot of thought and effort into correcting it. I am willing to continue putting effort in, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to show the board that I am safe to continue to practice. Thank you.
Would you be willing to answer questions from the board?
Absolutely, yes.
Great, thank you. Does anyone have any questions?
Go ahead, Josh.
I guess I'm don't have as much of a question as a beginning of a discussion with the board. I'm, to be honest, torn about this case because I'm really concerned about the number and scope of the violations. Mm-hmm. That is really concerning, especially given the role that Mr. Dyberg plays in an assisted living facility where there's people who are going to be more at risk. So that's concerning to me. On the other hand, you know, I recognize that they're 10 years old and they previously attempted to report them to us. And for whatever reason, our predecessors said that this was not necessary to report because of the statute of limitations. So that's kind of where I am. Those are the things I think we need to probably discuss and talk about. But, as far as the board is concerned, that's what I see. And I'm frankly unsure what to do about it. I'm really concerned about that, though.
Yeah, Josh, I share your concerns. I mean, the number of patients, it's egregious. It's very concerning. I appreciate that he's doing some self-help kinds of things, probably some of the things we would have ordered him to do back in the day. But there hasn't been anything in 10 years, as far as we know. And he's still in home health. So I don't know. There's some concerns for sure.
Yeah.
Mr. Nyberg or Nyberg, I'm sorry if I'm saying it wrong.
Nyberg is correct.
When did you take the PBI course?
I took the 24-hour course the beginning of January of this year.
Okay, 24. What have you learned from that course? And
I've learned a tremendous amount of information that I've actually tried to share with my agency. Even just little things like, giving patients my cell phone number. And in home health, that's what we do. That's how we communicate with our patients. You know, we give them a call and schedule an appointment with them. And so they have our cell phone numbers, and that's our personal cell phone numbers. And that's one of the things that I brought up with my agency, is that, you know, this is a professional violation. But there's so many things that I've learned, about self-disclosure and, sharing personal information, just about myself. Yeah, there's a ton of information I can tell you about.
Let's role play a little bit. You're a PBI boundaries instructor now, and the Mr. Nyberg of 2010 shows up. What advice would you give him, looking back at these past conduct?
Well, just that. I would limit self-disclosure, limit talking about myself. At that time, I was in a very poor emotional and mental state of mind, where my marriage was not great. And, so I would, share information about my marriage, about my romantic life. But I shared personal things about hobbies and where I went to dinner the night before, things like that. But that's, I always thought in the PT world that, being friendly was just that, sharing information about, hobbies. And, when we talk to patients, we try to get to know, them in a sense of, how they got hurt. But is an injury related to what they do over the weekend, or is it was it a car accident? So we kind of get to know them by asking questions, and it's kind of the way I feel to make people relax a little bit or feel better or feel more comfortable, by sharing some information about myself. And that's part of the, I would tell myself of 2010 not to share, there's just better ways to do it. Sure.
I know there's a summary of the complaint. Is the complaint is confidential, correct? No?
Yes.
Is what we have on page 12 of 114, is that what, can I talk about that those?
Let me get to that.
It's titled Complaint Filed with ASBOPT on 10/13/23 Edited.
That was what was sent to Mr. Nyberg. There, when I received the complaint, there was a lot of stuff that we did not have jurisdiction over. And so what Mr. Nyberg was provided was potential allegations that we would have jurisdiction over.
That's fine. I just want to make sure I can talk about it. Mr. Nyberg, we have like a half page summary of the complaint. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 bullet points. Are you familiar with that document?
I am, yes.
Actually, it's 8 bullet points. I can't count. Are all of the allegations in the complaint historical in nature?
In the sense of them being...
The relationships, our past relationships with maybe patients, maybe prior patients.
None of them are ongoing, if that's what you mean.
When was the last time you were engaged in a relationship with one of the individuals described in those 8 bullet points?
2011. So everything after that is inaccurate. There is no impregnated patient that has a 2-year-old child that I'm paying child support to. And the way I found out about that was 2-3 years ago, my father got a text message saying, if you want to see your grandson, feel free to text me back. Matthew doesn't know that I'm reaching out to you, but if you want to have a relationship with him, feel free to respond. So of course my parents call me and I pull over on the side of the road because my father's all upset, and I'm like, Dad, there's no, you don't have a grandson.
And this is because you never had a relationship with that woman, or because?
Because I don't even know who that woman is.
Okay.
Correct. So
whoever that is, you don't know who she is. You never had a relationship with her.
Never. And to correct what was stated earlier, there were only three women that I had a relationship. And I say only, but it's, there was not four, but there was three.
And no, you don't remember that.
Actually, can I correct that? Well, I'll add to it. Mr. Nyberg, you might need to clarify that. In 2016, there was a patient. It's referenced in the report as P3. She was a patient you saw in home health, had a hip problem. You stated, I believe it was 2016, you discharged her. And then 2 months later, engaged in a sexual relationship with her for quite a few years. And that ended in 2023.
That is correct, yes. So,
and then in my report, P3 is referenced as having told me that you engaged in sexual misconduct during the time that she was a patient, which included, inappropriate, sexual conduct, comments, flirtatious behavior while she was a patient. So that's the fourth patient.
Okay. That, thank you for clarifying that.
And that was not in the original complaint, Mr. Greer, because that was not, it was discovered later.
Yeah. I don't know what to say.
So yeah. And,
yes, P3.
I guess P3, did you have a relationship with P3 that ended in 2022?
23. P3, I had a 7-year relationship dating that ended, yes, in May of last year.
Okay. And this is the one that you reported. You reported that relationship to Dr. Donahue?
No. No, that was the, I don't know which P that would be, to be honest with you.
P2.
Okay. So P2 had a 12 to 13 year relationship with, and that ended in 2020.
P5, that's the person that you say you don't know who she is.
I believe so.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
The one who was impregnated, is that who you're referring to?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
And just so I understand your position, I understand that your position that there is no baby, you don't pay child support, I get that. But it's also your position that you have no idea who P5 is.
That is correct.
So, if I asked about a relationship with P5, you couldn't tell me anything about it because it never happened.
That is correct.
I have some questions for Mr. Harris, but I think we wait till anyone else. If anyone else has any questions, I can wait.
I just have a clarifying question, based on one of the questions you asked Josh. So Mr. Nyberg, you're telling us that there's not been any conduct since for over 10 years, yet you had a relationship with a patient that started when she was a patient, continued after she was a patient until 2023. So I'm really confused about your timeline.
Sure. E3 was a patient, I guess it said in 2016, for a total hip replacement. I don't recall really being flirtatious or having any sexual advances toward her. It actually went 2 or 3 months after her discharge, I believe it was in February, where I reached out to her and asked if she wanted to go out for dinner. And then from that point, we had a 7-year relationship.
I'm just getting a text from P3, who we're talking about. She's saying that she is willing to answer questions or speak if you need to further clarify information from her perspective.
I would greatly appreciate that if she's willing to answer a question.
She indicated in her text that she is willing to answer a question.
My question for her would be, from her perspective, when did their non-PT relationships outside of him being her physical therapist, so the boundary, when did that relationship actually start? And then while we're waiting for her, another question for you, Mr. Nyberg. On our little summary, it does say that in 2014, you were terminated from Metro PT because of inappropriate behavior in the parking lot. Can you describe that?
Sure. That's another inaccurate allegation. What I was told by the employer is I was let go because the facility was slow, which was accurate. I was, instead of treating patients, I was out marketing to physicians to try to get referrals, which were slow in coming. But I was never caught. And somebody, I think in an interview I read that, or I heard that there were cameras and that I was irate when I was caught, but that never happened either. So,
I guess my question would be then, did you ever have sex in the parking lot at work?
I don't recall having sexual relations in that facility's parking lot.
Mindy, did you get a response from?
Yeah, she's saying she's trying to take mute off, but we're not able to hear her. Judy, is there some other direction you can provide P3 that on her?
If she hangs up and rejoins.
So she'll hang up and rejoin?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mindy, is she on the telephone?
I'm not sure. We provided instructions to the witnesses to be able to mask their identity so they could hide their names. So I'm not sure. Oh, she said she's on the telephone.
Yeah, telephone, it's automatically muted. You have to push some buttons.
I think it's like *69 or.
Okay. That's helpful for her, I'm sure.
Unless she hung up before
okay.
When we said that.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Thank you.
Thank you for your willingness to answer a question. So in thinking about your relationship with the licensee, can you describe when a personal relationship started with him?
It started in February. Three months after he discharged me.
Okay. Was there any inkling of flirtatious behavior or boundary crossing when he was your physical therapist for your hip?
Yes.
Can you describe that, please?
I remember a specific instance when he was rubbing my scar, and he was trying to rub the scar tissue out in my I had a relative here, and he kind of made a joke because my hip replacement was done in the front of my leg near my groin, and he was rubbing near my groin, and he made a joke, I haven't even asked you out on a date yet, and I've got my hands all the way up in your pants.
Okay. Were there any exchanges of text messages or alluding to anything outside of his role as your physical therapist while he was treating you?
No.
And then other than that comment, were there any other behaviors that made you think he was interested in you outside of being his patient?
He made it very clear that he was attracted to me and interested in me. He was very friendly. but he definitely made it clear that there was an attraction there.
Thank you.
Were you surprised to get a phone call from him 3 months later to ask you out?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Any other questions for P3? Okay. Thank you very much for your willingness to participate. We appreciate that.
I have another question for Mr. Nyberg really quickly.
Yeah, I do too.
So I know that you took the PBI in January of 2024. Given the years of history of being with people who were your patients, what made you decide to take the PBI in 2024?
I can answer this one. It was at the advice of counsel.
So you didn't take it on. So it was kind of presented that you've taken these steps to, you know, to heal yourself, to recognize your wrongs, but it was actually your attorney that advised you. Is that correct?
He did do the counseling before. I just want to make sure that that's not lost in there. The counseling that was referenced was stuff that he had pursued on his own. And as Dr. Perkins noted, the changes that he had made were about 10 years out. So I just candidly, yes, when this came to a head and the first thing, you know, when we first talk about this issue, when I have a client who cares about the profession and goes, how do I make this right? Is there a way? I say, we start with continuing education. So he jumped right in. He took the highest, he did not shy away from the higher costing and more extensive courses, and voluntarily then signed up again for even the extended course that he's taking right now. So I want to just be candid. Yes, it was at advice of counsel, but through a discussion based on, you know, where his mindset was and his goals were for how to proceed and approach this investigation.
I have no other questions.
So this is Dr. Bustillo. I have a question about your current practice setting. Talk to me a little bit about what happens in the assisted living. Do you see people in their apartments, or do you have a gym area, or what happens?
Typically, I'm in patients' individual rooms, but I try to bring the patients into the hallways so that there is multiple people around to observe the treatment.
Do you work with a PTA or an assistant at all?
I do not.
Okay.
I do have that option available where I can open up a case and have a PTA follow the patient, but they wouldn't be with me if that's what you're referring to.
Sure.
Dr. Bustillo, if I may add on the issue of his practice, we are open and amenable to considering a restricted practice to address the home health concerns that have been raised during the course of this investigation. So if those are concerns that board members have and there is a willingness to explore modifications to create some assurances and confidence in, you know, the environments he's practicing in, those are absolutely things that we are prepared to welcome in a consent agreement.
Great. Thank you.
Mr. Nyberg, I have a question regarding the time frames of each of these patients. I'm a little confused on, you know, the information that's in the report here as far as time frames go. Were any of these relationships simultaneous with another relationship?
Yes, they were.
They were. Okay.
Any other questions?
I'll just offer up too that I have received a text from patient P1 who's willing to answer questions if you have any. Didn't sound like you had any questions for her, but.
Great. Thank you, Mindy. Does anyone have any questions for P1? All right. Would Mr. Nyberg or Ms. Bivens, would you like to make a closing statement?
Dr. Bastillo, before we do that, I have some questions for Mr.
Absolutely.
Harris.
Absolutely. I'm sorry.
I would move that we go into executive session for legal advice.
Absolutely. Second.
It's been moved and seconded to go into executive session for legal advice. Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes. The board members will now exit this meeting and go into executive session. The board members will return to this meeting when executive session is over. Monica, Phoenix, Mindy, Liz, keep me posted. I'm just going to move over to executive session now. Keep me posted if any audio.
And let the record reflect it is 10:03.
And the recording is going to stop. Thank you. 10:03.